This is Dave Adelson in Tijuana reporting for WCRS-FM in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm speaking with Dave Klegas at the Albergue Tu Casa. And Dave, can you tell us a little bit about this particular albergue?
Yeah, actually, we have dropped the term albergue. We don't call this a shelter. We call this a sanctuary. And one of the reasons is that we want to stay out of the system that involves the government and have this very independent, and we're just a group of people who are trying to help other people. The way that this particular site developed is a friend of mine who had had a situation with an abusive relationship. She had asked me to help, and I had helped chase the guy off at one point in time, and then we went ahead and moved her to another part of the country because the guy kept persisting. And she had this property, and she had said that, well, she wanted this to be a refuge for people like her or people who had experienced violence, that they could have a place they could come and heal. So after we had sent her to another place in Mexico to basically hide out from this guy, the migrant caravan came to Tijuana. This was about a year ago, and we immediately saw the need, and she called me up and says, David, can you implement the program? So what she has done is she has about 3/4 of an acre here. We had one house and then kind of a partial house here, and she has donated this land for the purpose of helping people. And our main goal is to help people who are victims of violence. And this can be any kind of violence. So there's a whole bunch of people that can fit into this category. We also want to help anybody regardless of their race, regardless of their religion, regardless of their sexual orientation. And our concept is the more variety, the better. We would like to have people from as many different places on earth and in as many different persuasions, because we're trying to help solve the problem of the other, which is why we have part of this crisis right now. Is people keep talking about the other for political reasons to demonize them, and the only way that you get rid of those prejudices by actually sitting down and either eating with somebody who's the other, or meeting their family, and then it's amazing how things get resolved then, and they're no longer the other, and they become an extended part of your family. And we need more of this in the world right now because we're much too divided. And it's more of a visceral level. This is not political thought, intellectualism. It's just physically meeting people, working together with them, and finding out that essentially we all want to do good in this life, we all want to do better. So the Tu Casa, We have 3/4 of an acre here, and this has been dedicated solely to developing this sanctuary. Our idea is, I'm a designer, architectural landscape, and I invent different building systems, and I've worked with aquaponics, and we want to make this as green as possible. We want to grow our own food, so we've just started a tilapia pond, and we'll be stocking that within a couple weeks, and then when springtime rolls around, the fish will be big enough that we can start adding some floating plants into the process and growing in that sense. We also are going to start capturing our washing water, our shower water, and using that gray water system. We want to develop a edible forest on the rest of the site. So we're going to be terracing with the existing rocks that we have, getting some good compost, blending it with the existing soil that we have out here, and start growing as many different varieties of plants as we can. One of our first businesses, which we're in the process of trying to figure out how to make these kind of places that help people as sustainable as possible. So a friend of mine has told me that there's a market down here so that we can propagate seeds into small liners and sell vegetables to the marketplace so that people can take them and plant them in their own gardens at home. So that will be one possible stream of revenue in here. One of the things that we ask the people who stay here is to try to get jobs here. The majority of the people here we have right now are from Central America, and the majority have a number that they're waiting to start the asylum process, or they're in the middle of the asylum process. Unfortunately, the reality is now that very few people are going to be accepted. So we give them the opportunity here to get works within the Tijuana community, begin to assimilate within the Tijuana community. And if they can't get in the U.S., at least they have a place that is much safer than the situations they're facing at home. I have people here. I've been hearing their stories, and it's truly amazing. I mean, they have bullet scars, they have knife scars, they had relatives that have been killed, they have gangs that hunt them down. It's truly awful, the things that they've experienced.
I actually, on that point, I had an interesting conversation yesterday with a couple of attorneys from the immigrant rights and human rights organization Al Otro Lado, and they were pointing out that escaping violence is actually not a recognized basis for granting asylum. So political asylum is easy to get, but asylum for people who are trying to flee gang violence, even if that gang violence is systematic and endemic, is very difficult to get.
So the consequence is there's going to a lot of people will not be able to get to the States. And so we are trying to help them find meaningful lives in Tijuana, which in certain senses is better because they're going to stay within the Latin culture, which is much different than our culture. You know, I laugh because we have 30 people in a very small spaces right now. But they act like a family. They have fun. I come here in the evenings, and it's just amazing how well everybody gets along and how everybody participates in the banter back and forth. I, as a gringo, would probably go live underneath the bridge because I'm used to rugged individualism, and I don't want a bunch of people around me, and which is really not the way to handle this life, but it's a whole different kind of thing.
Well, come on now. You're here with the 30 people, so we got to take that you want to be by yourself rugged individualist thing with a grain of salt, I think.
Well, but I go home at night. I have an apartment. I'm not living here.
One of the things I really noticed, we were giving Frisbees out to the kids, and they're great kids. I mean, they're smiling, they're laughing, they're very lighthearted, and it's a good feeling in the place. So you've created something here that's clearly very welcoming, and the people here seem quite relaxed and at home.
Well, that's the whole concept. The whole concept is they have a place that people can heal organically. I think you talk to most people who've been through trauma, they're looking for other people who have had the same experience to be able to heal together. It's difficult for somebody like me, who's basically had a very good life without issues, to truly understand what it's like to be shot at, to be starving, to go on a 3-month trip with not knowing what's going to happen day to day. So they need to be around other people who have made it through that process to be part of the healing process. And that's one of the side things I'm seeing here, which I didn't understand before. But I think that's very important. We also have doctors and psychiatrists that volunteer down here. And it was interesting because one of the psychiatrists, because we had one little boy who was crying all the time, and we had a mom who was shaking all the time. So she sat down and talked with him. So I interviewed her afterwards. I said, well, you know, how long is this going to take? And, well, they're fine now. I went, what? She says, these people are so incredibly resilient, because they've had such a tough life that if they can see some kind of an opening someplace, they heal themselves and away they go. I mean, it's phenomenal, you know?
Well, so one question I had is, are the people who are here, in terms of their thinking, are they still thinking about wanting to cross and to go to the United States? I mean, you've talked about them staying here and building a life here. What do they think of that?
No, their intention, the majority of them, with the exception of maybe one or two, still have that dream. And so we are in the process of trying to help them with that dream. So there are people here in town that will help them with the documents. I make copies for them. I drive them down to their appointments. So we do everything that we can to get them asylum, because that's what they came here for. But I know, and in their hearts, they know that the chances are small. So we have to plan for that. Otherwise, we're not a successful sanctuary if we don't help people for whatever the future is. And for some of them, it could be the states, but the majority are going to have a hard time getting accepted.
How do people find you? I mean, how do they come to be at this sanctuary as opposed to one of the other albergues in town?
Basically, it's word of mouth. We had an albergue that was for the LGBT community that we first started up. And because that's another group that is extremely has extreme problems in the Latin culture. Then we opened up this one, and we took like half of the people from that original shelter. And then basically through people that I know, but the majority are from people that the people here know. Because we have to be very careful. We don't want to let a predator in. We don't want to let disruptive people in here. And I have refused a couple of people of that, people like that, because once they asked, we do some research. We do some background check. I got too many kids here to risk getting somebody who's either violent or it's a predator. So practically everybody here has been endorsed by somebody. And then, you know, day by day, there's a review process just because we're a big family. So.
And do you have any relationship to the Mexican authorities or the government or any social service institutions here? Or is this absolutely independently supported?
We are absolutely independent. We're not with any government organization.
And is there any way that, or do you welcome support from people in the United States? Is there any way any of the listeners to this right now might be able to contribute or support you in some other way than contributions?
Since we don't have any support from the government or any other institution, we are completely reliant on donations, and we're reliant on donations here from Mexico and in large part in the United States. I mean, I laugh because you have a guy digging a trench on one side of the fence down here, and one guy gets $5 a day, and the other guy gets $80 a day. So the reality is there's a lot more money in the States that can help us with this. And in the existing circumstance right now is we need to show people that we don't hate them. We need to show people some love. I mean, I was raised up in a Protestant Quaker church, and I was taught that you're supposed to help your neighbor, and that you're also supposed to help those that don't have things. So I'm just trying to implement that, and that's basically my appeal to people in the States. Is do something to help those people who are less fortunate than you, and also understand how fortunate you are, you know.
Is there a mechanism where they can donate specifically to this sanctuary?
Yes, we have a GoFundMe, and you go to GoFundMe and you type in Tu Casa. It's TUCASA. And it'll show our project, and that's where you can donate.
Great. Well, thank you very much for both your work and your time.
Well, thank you for spreading the word. I appreciate it.